The Hidden Labor of Disability, written and read by Kevin Tempe. Navigating Disabilities. Earlier, I wrote about the frustration of having to quantify our son in a way that getting him medical and therapy services requires. It's hard to quantify our son in the way we are required to. It's hard to quantify our sorrow, the emotional toll, the years of uncertainty when we had a diagnosis but no prognosis. I think back to earlier inventories and tests, among them an IQ test that we never opened the results from. We didn't want a number. I can't reduce what it's like to be the parent of a multiply disabled child to the sum of numbers on a form or a test, but apparently that's what I'm supposed to do. That previous post was primarily about the emotional toll that the relevant checkboxes and forms in triplicate cause, about the demoralizing effects of navigating the services he needs. Since that post, we've moved states. In addition to all the usual things that a move across country means, new house, new job, new friends, new schools, etc. A move with a child with disabilities or significant medical needs is exponentially more complicated. The emotional toil of caregiving. A new school means new forms, not just enrollment forms and vaccination records, but more of the forms and quantification that I talked about before, and thus more emotional toil. The move means new doctors and having to educate them on our son's condition and its implication. Since he's one of only about 60 documented individuals in the world with 2P15-16.1 microdeletion syndrome, we've yet to meet a medical professional that was already familiar with his condition. In these meetings were the parents and the experts and the teachers. And so once again, we have to recount all that he can do and can't, his struggles and challenges, and the ways that our lives are shaped in so many details by his condition. The move means new therapists, getting referrals and doing initial screenings and interviews before we pick a particular provider. And once we make our decision, we're in for yet even more forms, more paperwork to get referrals to specialists we hope we'll never need. The past few weeks have brought a different demoralizing frustration. In our previous state, our son got much of his therapy and medical care through Medicaid. While Medicaid is a federal program, it's administered by the states. And so moving to a new state requires learning a new state Medicaid system. Despite having learned how to pressure school districts to follow state and federal education laws that they'd prefer to ignore, I've been up against a steep new learning curve. Frustration and exhaustion. Whereas our previous state had one bureaucracy that we had to navigate for health and therapy issues, our new state has three, and they're separate. I've yet to find someone that works in one that understands the other bureaucracies. More than once, I've had the thought that this is done on purpose to make navigating the system harder, thereby making it easier for the state to avoid providing therapy and medical services to children who need them. In the last 2 weeks, I've spent over 19 hours on the phone trying to figure out how to get our son the services he received prior to our move. 19 hours. I've talked to about 24 individuals, left voicemails that still haven't been returned, been forwarded from one person to another, only to have that person say I need to talk to someone else, and then be transferred back to the first person I spoke with. That's happened twice. The hidden labor of disability. Every phone call is emotionally draining. Every minute spent doing this is a minute that I have to work after the kids are asleep to try and stay on top of my job. My relaxation tonight after 2 hours of work after my kids went to bed is writing this blog post. And in so many ways, I'm very fortunate. Unlike many others, I have a job flexible enough to even make this possible. Others would have to take sick time or even unpaid time off to make those calls. I was recently at an academic conference, participating in a session focused on disability. One of my fellow presenters, Teresa Blankmeyer-Burke, is deaf. In addition to all the work I had to do to prepare for our presentation at the conference, she also had to arrange for American Sign Language interpreters and make sure that the interpreters would be able to translate the technical vocabulary our discipline uses, and make sure that the rest of us involved knew how to work with those interpreters so our session was accessible. She's also co-directing a project that involves inventing ASL signs for much of that vocabulary. How cool is that? She's adding new words to a language. However, it's unfortunate that she has to add new words to the language. Extending compassion. The point here is that in virtue of her disability, there is a lot more work that Teresa needs to do in order to participate in the conference. Jackie Leach Scully refers to this as, quote, the hidden labor of disability, end quote. In a blog post on the hidden labor of disability, my fellow presenter at the conference, Teresa, writes, quote, I recognize that all academics make choices that determine how our time is used, but my point here is about the system advantage accrued to non-disabled academics. These people are advantaged by current systems and structures in the academy. This impacts those of us who are disadvantaged because we are measured on their yardstick of time consumption, not ours. End quote. What she rightly notes here about disabled academics is also true of disabled individuals in general, and also true of people with significant medical needs, and also true of parents of children with disabilities or high emotional needs. Being such an individual not only requires significant time, it requires time spent doing tasks and battling systems that aren't helpful, many of which are emotionally draining and frustrating. There is only so much time and energy. So here's a request from a frazzled parent. Please try and understand this hidden labor. Please be sensitive to it, both in the workplace and with your friends. This past Friday night, my family was invited to a new colleague's house. The colleague was trying to be welcoming to us, and I appreciate that. But after a week that involved all the hidden labor that this past week involved, I just didn't have it in me. It's never easy being at someone else's house with three young children, especially if those individuals don't have small children themselves. But then add in the various ways that having our son in a new environment involves extra work, extra caution, extra energy. So we turned down the colleague's invitation. I think my new colleague understood. Given that he's a dean at my college and exercises a supervisory role over me, I sure hope he does. I would have rather not needed to, in part because I think he could easily be a genuine friend. And I want to help my wife meet more people here in our new state. But there's only so much time and so much energy. Understanding and empathy. If you're a person who has had to do such hidden labor, and weren't familiar with the phrase, you now have a name for what you've been living with. Naming it and recognizing it can be useful. It helps explain, for instance, why some of us don't have the energy to accept social invitations on Friday nights. Recognizing it can help alleviate the guilt. On the other hand, if you're a person who doesn't have to do such hidden labor, pay attention to those around you that might have to. They may need to spend their Saturday morning filling out forms for therapists rather than having coffee. They may be too tired from being up much of the night caring for a child with narcolepsy to join you for yoga at the new place down the street. They may not be able to go to a movie with you because they need to continue working on inventing the vocabulary they need for their job. They might find it hard to do small talk with all the concerns running through their head. They may turn down your social invitation yet again because they're simply spent. Let me end with a request. Please do your best to understand to be empathetic. Do your best to offer to help to do some of that work if you can. The hidden labor is real and exhausting, despite being hidden. Pray for them. Invite them to nap with you. Understand if they cancel plans at the last minute. Empty their dishwasher or fold their laundry while they're on the phone. Or simply give them a big hug and don't expect more out of them.